Hare Krishna. You know, I'm doing this from Skype. We have a better connection here, but still, I just hope it works. Let me just get to the part where we are, and then I'll begin. we had our major festival here, because the ISKCON temple, we'll go there today, has it on the day. We did it the day before. So, and the festival starts at 6 o'clock at night. It goes on quite late. Madhura Puri, nice young kirtanier, he came. We had him doing the kirtan. Then I gave class. Then we had a full Abhishek. Mukunda Preshta from New York was here, and he helped with that. And then we had a festival, and it was really nice, and especially the quality of people that come and their families. It's just really a beautiful experience. Now I'm glad that I can still continue this here, because I probably will be coming to Colombia this year another two times during the summer. And in May, it'll be for 3 weeks. So let's, okay. Reading from the Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satyam Surucha Mihitam Bhavane Yadur Bhagaya Udare Grihita Sanyena Vridascha Valajiteyam Vayeti Vavodham Idasta Tirmam. Suruti said, "My dear boy, whatever you has been spoken by Suruchi is so, because the king, your father, does not consider me his wife or even his maidservant. He feels ashamed to accept me. Therefore, as a fact, you have taken birth from the woman of an unfortunate, birth from the womb of an unfortunate woman, and by being fed by her breast, you have grown up." So, Omagana Timurandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chaksurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Agreta Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Did you make the offering yet? Okay. Okay. Well, greetings from Sham Ashram in Cali, Colombia. I do feel on many reasons that it's just a paradise. The quality of people, the place itself, such a beautiful ashram and there. And this time I came to inaugurate our Gaur Purnima festival, which required my presence. So therefore I was only in New York for 2 days, coming back from India and Russia, and then went here. But it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to give Bhagavatam. I know we've been, it's really a deep relationship, I think, that we all have, because we've been doing this, and many of ones, especially the ones that are the core people here. We've been doing this for over 10 years. Now we're fortunate some other people have also joined, but here's this Dhruva Maharaj story that even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in Puri to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to experience the love of his topmost devotee at the height of her love. He was listening to this every day, this Dhruva Katha from Gadadhar Pandit in Tota Gopinath. And at least I've heard that the reason was that any spiritual practice takes determination. And one way to imbibe a quality, is to have exemplars that inspire us, that embody that quality. So Dhruva is the exemplar for sheer and utter determination for the goal. And even though his goal was material, he was advised and followed that advice to pursue devotional service for that goal. In other words, take shelter of Krishna, you will be protected. The best will happen. And if you take shelter of Krishna, and previously, what just had recently happened, I think people have been conversing with this story, but what happened is his father was attached to not his mother, but another co-wife who was envious of him because she was the younger co-wife and therefore he was the elder son of the king, which would preclude her own son from taking the throne. So playing on the attachment of the king, she wouldn't allow him to sit on his father's lap when the father was sitting on the throne. And insulted him in a very, very heavy way. We know the commentary previously is, and I think we've all experienced this in life, his mental agony is much more worse than physical pain or violence. Mental agony. And one of the deepest mental agonies here, there's a combination of them, I would say, is humiliation. And insult. Humiliation and insult. And especially humiliation and insult is felt so heavy for one who is a Kshatriya by birth and training and a certain type of pride that comes with that type of nature of passion, because the Kshatriya is one who is in passion. That type of pride that comes with it is not, you're not taught to transcend it, but to use it in Krishna's service. As Prabhupada said during one war in Southeast Asia, and I think it was something with Cambodia, it wasn't Vietnam, it was after that, where somehow or other, I don't know, was it the Gulf of Tonkin or something, I'm trying to remember, and Prabhupada said, you know, about that, if the American leader was Krishna conscious, he would say, if you harm one hair on the head of our man, there'll be fight. So there was a certain pride that one would work through, not transcend. And it was cultivated for that service. It's just like if someone is a brahmachari and they get married, you know, they can't cultivate detachment of course, the whole thing is the detachment, but they can't be cold and dispassionate to their children. You may have to be affectionate. It should be natural, but even if it's natural, they have to cultivate. They should be very, very affectionate and loving and to wife. And it's something you work through. You know, it's not that there's marriage counseling and there's the difficulty between the wife and the husband, and they go to a sannyasi counselor and say, anyway, you're not the body anyway. No, but rather they would say, no, be affectionate to your wife. Show them affection. And same thing with kshatriya. You know, you have that spirit. Happy are those kshatriyas whose battles come unsought, it says in the Bhagavad Gita. It also says in that same chapter, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. That's for a kshatriya. It's a nature. He's so pained, and we're at the point where he comes to his mother, because worse, the insult and the humiliation from his stepmother was reinforced by a sense of betrayal by his own father, who, due to the attachment to his wife, which he later regrets, does not even say anything, nor does he pick up the boy to put on his lap to pacify him. So you got humiliation, you got insult, you got betrayal, and the kshatriya pride, and he's devastated, and he goes to his mother. His mother begins to cry like someone burnt in the forest fire. What does that mean? When a tree is burnt in the forest fire, the water comes out. So when there's great pain burning your heart, the water comes out in terms of your tears, and you're dried up. You're dried up. But because she's suniti, her niti, her behavior is so excellent, as opposed to the koai suruchi, whose enjoyment was excessive, she composes herself and instructs her son in a very exemplary way. And this is actually the key to happiness. Yesterday, you know, 15 of the people from our congregation, they went to India. And one of the ladies that went, she was there for a month. I asked her, well, what's the main realization you got? And she said, when I got back, everything is the same, and I'm not going to change it. But what I can change, I can change myself. And that's the key to happiness. The key to happiness is not changing the world, because it's very limited to how much we can change. What we can change is ourself. That motivational psychologist, Steve Covey, he actually even discussed this. He said that we have a circle of influence, the things we can control, and that's kind of pretty small. Then there's a greater circle of the things that are circle of concern, the things we want to change. And when you spend time in your circle of concern rather than your circle of influence, things that you want to change around yourself, like a relationship. The husband wants to change the wife, and the wife wants to change the husband. But really, they have to change themselves. And in changing themselves, they have a better chance of changing the other. So this is good advice. But, you know, there's nothing I can do about that's my circle of concern. I would love if my step if my co-wife was more kind, if she wasn't envious, I would love that. And if my husband wasn't so attached, I would love that. But it ain't going to happen. So the solution to your problem in coming to me is not petitioning the king, you know, or fighting it. This is already destiny. The only thing you can do is worship God. And by worshiping God, one of three things can happen. He can change the impossible because he is God. He can change your heart so it doesn't matter. By worshiping him, your heart will change. Because if you take shelter of him, then anything can happen. But mainly, it's shelter. Your heart will be satisfied. Your shelter is not in material things. That's not going to be your shelter. Take shelter of God. This is the implied meaning. He can change it. He can change you. Or he can give you what you want in such a way that you'll realize that it's not actually the thing that you should be upset about. And now, you know, she asked Dhruva also, forgive. Because one who inflicts pain on others is suffering more themselves from that pain. So forgive. Forgive, like Socrates and the assembly of the Socrates in the apologetic when he confronts the Senate who had condemned him. And he says, I just want to speak to them. He said, if you think you'd harm me, you can't harm me. You'll only harm yourself. Because what harms someone ultimately is disconnecting yourself from the soul. If someone tries to harm you, they're disconnecting themselves from the soul. And if you respond in the proper way, you're connecting yourself with the soul. So now, but Dhruva may have questioned, why should I forgive her? And then, as a great devotee, Suniti doesn't want to condemn the perpetrator. So she's saying for herself, I'm not condemning Suruchi. I don't condemn the perpetrator. Ultimately, I must be the cause. And that's when Maharaj Parikit heard that a bull was beating a cow. My God. You got to really excuse me. I'm out of it this morning, like staying up late. And then I have a certain sadhana where I'm generally up by 1:30. And that wasn't the case today, before I got up. But a sudra was beating a cow. Not a bull was beating. My God, what am I saying? A sudra was beating a cow. Or beating the bull. Sudra was beating a bull. And then Maharaj Parikit said, who did this to the cow? Who has done this to you? Who is the cow would not identify the perpetrator. And then the bull would not identify the perpetrator. And therefore Maharaj Parikit said, you must be Dharma. Because Dharma means to see God. Dharma means to do the things that bring you closer to God. Dharma means to see the world as doing that for you in all circumstances. So she was also personified Dharma, and she would not identify. In fact, he says that, you know, she's actually right. This is the destiny. You are not born from my womb. And being born from my womb must be unfortunate because I must have caused this myself, that the king is ashamed to accept me. Therefore, it's a fact that you've taken birth from an unfortunate woman. And therefore, she confirms it. So that's her spiritual viewpoint. Even in the midst of such provocation, Isn't that what a saintly person is? Isn't it a beautiful thing, a saintly person? Next verse. Atishtatata vimatsarastvam ukam samatrapi yadavyalikam arajaya dokshaja parapadmam yadichushe jhasanam uttamo yata. My dear boy, whatever has been spoken by Saruchi, your stepmother, although very harsh to hear, is factual. Therefore, if you desire at all to sit on the same throne as your stepbrother, Uttama, then give up your envious attitude and immediately try to execute the instructions of your stepmother. Without further delay, you must engage yourself in worshiping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The harsh words used by Saruchi to her stepson were true, because unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve any success in life. Man proposes, God disposes. Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, agreed with her co-wife's advice that Dhruva engage himself in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indirectly, the words of Saruchi were a benediction for Dhruva Maharaj, for because of the influence of the stepmother's words, he became a great devotee. So she was saying, look, it may have come from someone who's cruel, but it's like if someone in anger throws gold coins at you, take the money and run. You're being benedicted. So whatever she's saying, her attitude may be wrong, but what she's saying is correct. And Chanakya Pandit says we should take gold even from a filthy place. This is gold. It's good as gold. So a lot of times, our worst enemies are carrying for us the greatest benedictions, because they're carrying a certain karmic lesson that only an enemy could carry. But it's the lesson that Krishna is giving us to become closer to him. But it's only something that an enemy could carry, which is the conditions required to purify us based on what God has seen previously in terms of our own activities. God is purifying us by giving us reactions. The reactions often come from bad people. But God is giving us those reactions. He's giving us those conditions to bring us to a higher level of consciousness. And therefore, you should approach the Supreme Lord, who is adokshaja, transcendent, or in other words, ata, below, akshaja, below the senses are below. You should approach God who the senses are below, who is transcendent. Our experience, our senses is always below God. But by chanting and worshiping God, our senses can become spiritualized to actually contact God. And then go to the forest. Because Dhruva asked, well, where does the God live? They said, in the forest. Because she heard that it's true that most people, they see God in the forest. They become too distracted. As Prabhupada quoted the British poet Cooper, city is made by man, the country is made by God. So generally, it's easy to realize God in the country, because the city is covered by man. And therefore, we tend to see the world separate from God, and that is Maya. Even I like here, you know, I'm joking, but it's not joking. I'm born in Brooklyn. I don't have a lot of some scars of good experiences with animals. Although I somehow, my father, when I was young, like before 5 years old, I don't know why he took me to Staten Island Snake Farm. And then I actually recently, because I remembered that, and I remember I had nightmares about it. And then I looked it up on Google, and there is a Staten Island Snake Farm. There's a famous Staten Island Snake Farm. I guess, you know, parents like to, you know, I don't know why. And it's so funny because I can't even, you know, remember anything about it. But I'm just so curious, why would my father take me to the Staten Island Snake Farm? And I just thought, is this in like my mind or something? Because I was so young. Although I do have remembrances of myself in the crib. I do remember the crib, where the crib was, in my mother's room. I remember exactly where the crib was. I remember being in the crib. But this was before I was 6 years old and moved from Bensonhurst to Staten Island Snake Farm. But anyway, I don't know why I got off on that today. But, the forest. Yes, I'm saying that. That's the animals I saw in New York. So go to the forest. I don't have that much. But here, right outside my door is Gajendra, this beautiful horse. No, Gajendra, that's called Pravriksha. And Gajendra and Rohini, these big Doberman pinchers. You know, so there's so many animals. And like, It does bring you closer to God in oneself. You know, you see the big horse and you just understand there's a soul. This horse is beautiful. It's huge. How tall do you think the horse is? It looks like McClend is saying it's 6 or 7 feet high. That's how high this horse is. But there's a certain divinity. I'm right now, I'm in my room. And actually, even though technically we're in the city, it's very special. You go, you're in the city and you take a left and a right, and then all of a sudden you're in this dead end surrounded by farms. There's a horse farm outside one of my windows, the next property. And then in front of us is our land. I'm seeing the little bamboo forest. Yeah, very beautiful. It's inspiring spiritually. Anyway, go to the forest. Okay, text 820. Yasyam gripadmam paricharya vishva vibhavanayata guna vibhate ajo jatishtat kalaparameshtam padam jatatma swasana vivadyam. Suniti continued, the Supreme Personality of God, it is so great that simply by worshipping his lotus feet, your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, acquired the necessary qualifications to create this universe. So now, Suniti is going to say, worship God. That's the solution. And that's no solution for most people. People come with so many problems. And they seem insurmountable. I'm older and I'm not married. I'm this and I'm that. And this situation and that. And it's the only solution is to shift your endeavor from destiny to free will. To your circle of influence, which is your free will. The things that you can do, not just the things that you want. And one thing we can do in every circumstance is worship God. And when we do that, all problems are finished if we can actually surrender to that. Because all problems, the basis of all problems is false ego, which is identification, the false identification with the body as the field of activities. And that's due to the desire to control and enjoy. When you surrender, even now, all your problems are gone because they're all in the mind. What is this? What will happen this? Well, there's no problem now. Generally, there's no problem now. All our problems are in the future. What will happen to me, or the past? What has happened to me? But it's not now. You may be very poor, but you're eating a meal. Okay, you're not a superstar, a rock star, or a billionaire, or what? A playboy, or a playgirl, whatever it is. Right now, generally, there's no problem. See, we go about 20 minutes from here, and there's one farm that we visit. I went with Mukunda and Madhu and Shyam Sundari to pick up the fresh milk. They don't kill the cows on this farm. To pick up the fresh milk for our feast and the cheese that they make. And the guy who's in charge of the farm, he's just so peaceful. Every time you come, you just see him stirring the milk. Stirring the milk. And then we walk to the path. They have a beautiful river. And then we walk. We had to cross the river. We walk to the fields with the cows or with the horses and the goats and the birds all living together peacefully. And we sat there enchanted. So, man was so peaceful. Of course, you can say a situation, but a situation that allowed him to accept the now. Our situations are so filled with passion and ignorance. Passion means the future, ignorance means the past. Just to accept. Right now, there's no problem. Anyway, she's saying, this is the method. Now she goes to the lineage. Your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, he surrendered to God, and he got the qualification to create. Although he is unborn and is the chief of all living entities, creatures, he is situated in that exalted post because of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom even great yogis worship, by controlling the mind and regulating the life, they have prana, purport. Suniti cited the example of Lord Brahma, who is Dhruva Maharaj's great-grandfather. Although Lord Brahma is also a living being, by his penance and austerity, he acquired the exalted position of the creator of this universe by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. I underline this next part. To become successful in any attempt, one need not, one not only has to undergo severe penance and austerities, but also must be dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This indication has been given by Dhruva Maharaj by his stepmother and was now confirmed by his own mother, Suniti. So success is never our own endeavor.